Are you ready for this, Cards fans? Llewellyn Summer Sweeps is officially in full swing. Now through Labor Day, come into any Llewellyn's location, order the special of the day for your chance to win a trip for two to Cardinals Spring Training with Inside STL and 12 other amazing prizes. The more you go, the more chances to win. Visit Llewellynspub.com for more details or follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for updates. With tons of TVs and patios at almost all their locations, Llewellyn's Pub should be your place for games this summer. So go watch, eat, and enter to win.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Charlie, who's this? Don't look at the board. Oh, you look at the board. F you.
I wouldn't have known
that it was the big gigantic
who did this.
Lupus. Inside STL special area. Are you going to be there?
Maybe.
Wow.
I know Melissa Marr texted me or emailed me, and I said I might be able to go. It's, when is it, September?
September 10th and September 11th, Saturday and Sunday.
Is the Inside STL thing for both days?
That's right. We're going to be hanging out there, man.
So it's Lauryn Hill and who else besides big gigantic?
You know who I really want to see, and I've said it on the air a few times, is Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
And we almost went down to Austin. I guess he's playing there maybe next weekend. But we're like, we have this thing with Lou Fest, so no need to go down to Austin for it. Although we enjoy going to Austin. Do you enjoy Austin? Have you been to Austin?
I've never been to
really?
Austin. Never.
Is that because Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Your hatred of.
Shied away from playing Texas.
They actually played a home-and-home with Texas in 2004-05, the Vince Young years, if you knew anything.
Yeah, but they shied away from it.
Okay, right. They actually scheduled them.
Yeah.
But
after much shyness.
And they played them in the, I believe it was, what's the bowl out there in Arizona? The Fiesta Bowl. And Colt McCoy beat them a couple years back.
Fiesta. Mm-hmm. Fiesta.
How big is Ohio State now? They got like 50,000 kids there?
I want to say 50. We could look this up. Maybe even 60?
Also look up the average height and weight of jockeys.
I already did that.
No.
Yeah. About 5'2", 100.
That's what I was in the depth chart at the U-High.
Yeah. What position were you trying to play at that size?
I don't know.
Middle backer?
They put me in for one play. I didn't understand the playbook. It was kind of like Scott Covington. I don't know if you remember him. He had a brief run with the Rams for a quarter.
You were a quarterback?
No. I couldn't see over the line.
No.
Still couldn't. And I knew it was a running play, and I was the running back.
Oh, they put you in at the running back.
Right. And I had two choices, Charlie. You know what those choices were?
You hit the hole or you get hit.
Fall down and beg for forgiveness?
I guess it was three choices, right, left, or hey, diddle.
Hey, diddle, diddle, right up the middle.
Not, I
I'm
went
sure
right,
a big back like you.
The quarterback went to pitch to the left, and then the coach goes, okay, that's enough.
And you were cut right then?
No, not on the spot. I think the next day.
What did you ask which way you were supposed to go, or they called the play and you didn't know what that meant?
I'm from St. Gabriel's. I think the play was supposed to go right.
Probably so.
The quarterback screwed up, but his dad donated a bunch to the school. So
he was still in there.
But that guy always plays.
That's it.
He was only 6'4".
Right. Politics.
Thank you, Doug.
I'd be in the bigs right now if it wasn't for that coach's son back in middle school.
I'm not sure what position is best suited for a gentleman who's 5'2", 100 pounds. I don't know where
you're putting. Stat boy, and that's what I became. No. I became stat boy.
Maybe returning punts or something?
Yeah, like a little scat back. A guy who's tough to tackle.
Yeah.
You don't have a big tackle target. Who's the guy for Oregon? The really short guy who was really good, and then I believe he went to the 49ers, didn't have a good NFL career, just like the last 5 years. I'll look it up. Anyway, yeah. Ohio State. 64,868 total enrollment.
64,000?
That's 2014. Then I'm seeing undergrad. I'm seeing 44,741.
Wow.
That's from 2015.
I think Arizona State's still the biggest in the country. They had 59,000 undergrad as of about a year ago. With Central Florida right behind.
How about this? List of United States University campuses by enrollment.
Uh-huh.
According to Wikipedia, the first one... Doug.
Texas?
Guess.
Arizona State.
Arizona State is number 6.
Oh, they were number 1. Not Central Florida.
Central Florida.
Wow.
Number 1 for the 2015-16 academic year, 63,000. Number 2?
Texas.
Texas A&M.
Wow.
Number 3?
Gig 'em, Doug.
The Ohio State University. Number 4? Florida International.
Really?
Number 5?
That's
Florida.
A commuter school.
Texas is number 7.
Okay.
Fun facts for no one tell, yeah, man. Charlie's nice, got these fun facts.
Those are just nice facts.
This Wikipedia.
I'm telling you. Check it out.
And sometimes it's even accurate.
Yep. Yep.
Mizzou's standing on the list will take a substantial hit from last year.
It's a matter of opinion.
Well, it's a matter of enrollment more than anything.
Doug, if you're like so many others, you're sick and tired of the below-average sound and features that your factory car stereo system offers you, why continue to live with unacceptable sound and features when all you need to do is visit the pros at Audio Express? Audio Express offers the best name brands in car audio and security at the guaranteed lowest installed prices. It's Audio Express. Own today and pay for it later with Audio Express's special no-credit-needed payment plan. Improve your drive time. Visit Audio Express today. Check out their JVC products, their Kenwood products. You could add bass, making any system sound better. And JBL's all-in-one 12-inch 600-watt bass system sounds unbelievable for just $249. Improve your drive time. Visit Audio Express today. Yeah, if you get a sound system from Audio Express, my voice sounds even better.
I bet. Very deep and low. Mellow.
I'm excited about my voice. I'm excited about where I am right now.
It's rich. It's like a silky.
And I wonder if it's going to get deeper when I hit age 40 here.
Yeah.
Doug, what is it, 54 days?
I don't think your voice will get much deeper, no.
Are we going to do a countdown? How about this?
We should
do a
countdown.
Since you're turning 40, we start with 40 days of Tim.
Wow.
And every day.
I kind of feel like it's been 12 years of Tim, but yeah, let's do 40 days.
We'll do a taped recording where every day we honor one of the great moments that's happened in your illustrious career.
Just a darn salute to the guy.
Plow Pirate, do you think we could even find 40 great moments from this 12 years of broadcasting excellence?
I think we could do a full year, Tim.
Of course.
A lot of hot takes.
Okay.
Everybody loves you, and I'm a huge fan.
Okay, Plowsy.
Everybody loves you, I think, might have been the exaggeration of the whole
thing. I love that you're holding that microphone in your hand.
Yeah, because it falls
like a stand-up comic.
Yeah, during the Gabe interview, I think you noticed that it fell onto the keyboard and started playing audio, which is always fantastic. Yeah.
It was a Mike Matheny drop.
You go back to Home Depot and get a screw to get the mic.
I think they got a better special at Rule King there, Doug.
Oh, they're
telling you
it's too far to go. You don't need chicken feed.
Payola going on here to look into this.
But it just seems that there's probably just a screw loose, right? We got to be able to fix that.
It could be something bigger.
What?
There's something with the fulcrum there.
There is no fulcrum involved.
I think it's stripped, Doug.
The screw is stripped. Well, then get a new one.
Okay.
We got to have some gear in this in this station to fix that. I hate to see you have to hold a mic. Just get a screw to fix it.
I do like the fact that he's wearing his headphones all the time, so he doesn't have to take them off every time he's brought up.
Summoned to the mic.
It's a tribute to you, Chuck.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Tim, I saw Stapleton in Nashville and in St. Louis twice. You'll love the show.
He's a country guy?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the new artists anymore.
I don't know. Neither.
Is he even new?
Well, I think he's maybe been big for 4 or 5 years.
No. I mean, he's been in the business for a long time, but he just kind of broke out. He's been writing and singing backup for a lot of big people, and then he just took off.
Is he the guy where on one of these country music awards, Justin Timberlake sang with him?
That's what really... and what did he do? What was it, Doug? What was the song there?
It was a big one. It was a song that made him famous. That was a nice moment for him.
Tennessee Whiskey, Nurse?
Tennessee Whiskey, Doug?
Something like that, yeah. If it wasn't Tennessee Whiskey, it was Kentucky Whiskey.
And now the Louisville texts come in because we're talking about music. And, of course, as you know, you can't talk about music.
No.
It's easier to actually talk about politics, I think, than music.
Because hipster music, I know more about music guy than you, and you really don't know music. I like the artist until they get popular, and then that artist sells out.
Yeah, then it's too
that
easy.
That type of person?
It's too easy to like him.
I really
Everybody
liked that
does.
Band until they got really successful.
Right. Nonsense. Musical Stop snobs. It. And their taste in music is always better than yours.
Correct.
You're not allowed to have your own taste in music, because if you don't like what they like, you suck.
And it has to be a band you've never heard of.
Right. These are the type of people we're hearing from now, Tim, is it?
Oh, my word.
Uh-oh. This sounds like a breaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't advocate this anymore. It is mandatory that you follow me on Twitter at T. McKernan and or follow the cat on Fox.
What is that?
Holiday?
Matt the Bat is sporting a morning after Lemmings t-shirt before today's game in Cincinnati. Holy moly. Lee. Doug, it has happened. Matt Holliday is a lemming. Wow, wow, wow.
I thought he couldn't find one small enough.
Take a look at that, ladies and gentlemen. It's now on the TMA fan page. You can take a gander there if you're not on Twitter. And there it is. Have you seen it? And he looks, oh, my God, he looks so happy.
I don't see it. I'm on the morning after, but I don't see
here's
it.
There's...
Oh, he looks like he did that to win a bet. Now he's going to take the shirt off.
What?
He looks extremely upset having to do that.
I like it.
Thank you, Charlie.
Looks good on him.
Yes, it does. He got the royal blue version.
Does he know what it means to be a lemming, that it's a lemming of Tim?
Yeah, he's a huge fan of mine.
He knows that.
Oh, my God, he's a huge fan.
You don't think he was sold a bill of goods?
As he said at spring training this year, and it seemed like it was supported, even though it seemed to also have a little anger behind it. So you had to buy a station to keep your stupid show on.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you.
And for most of the time last spring, he would walk the other way when he saw us. Uh-oh, yeah. I think I'll go in the back door today.
Yeah, he kind of Chris Carpentered us
sure
for the entire week.
He's got that amazing radio show.
Thank you, Matt.
I wonder what Cat had to do to get him to wear this, though. Because I don't think he would just do it.
No, of course he wouldn't.
It's a nice shirt, though.
He looks upset having to do it. I think he lost a bet.
Did you guys happen to see the pregame interview yesterday of Cat with Brandon Moss? Anybody see this?
No.
I'm watching the pregame show. Plowsy's saying yes. And he's interviewing Brandon Moss in the clubhouse. You know, does a nice 2-3 minute, 4 minute interview. When he's done, as he gets ready to throw back to the studio, you can hear all this clapping. And all the players are going, great interview, Cat. Great interview. Great questions. Great questions. So I'm guessing they were all just like standing around him watching as he's doing this interview.
Those are tough interviews to do.
Especially when everybody's peering in on you.
There's almost no question you could ask that would be considered a good one.
But they always ask, especially, Moss and Jerko are best friends. They really are. Okay. Of my time covering the Cardinals, I can't remember two players that are more best friends than Jed Jerko and Brandon Moss.
It's kind of like you and Doug.
No, we're coworkers.
What?
I feel like Doug and I, we had a better friendship back in the day.
Like non-election years?
Non-election years.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, he doesn't follow me on Twitter.
No.
He says we're not really friends.
Well, coworkers.
Then I gave him a ride that one time to get his battery.
And then I gave you a ride.
He gave me a ride to the tire store.
So I could...
reverse cowgirl, baby?
No. So I could block you on Twitter again now that since we were even on rides.
I just don't get that, though. I follow you on Twitter.
Charlie's a good follow on Twitter, I got to tell you.
I think all you guys are good follows, and we should follow each other.
I can kind of get you into trouble sometimes, though, if you're at work and all of a sudden I'm tweeting like, hey, I'd like to have anal tonight, you know, something like that.
Because of that, not just with you, but you never know. I don't ever bring Twitter up on my work computer. I always look on my phone.
When I did that show with Edmonds and we'd be on remote and just porn would pop up because I follow the porn stars. Or Anna Marie will be sitting there watching a show and I'm just on Twitter and, you know, Romy Rain just has a lot of pictures she wants to tweet.
Well, stop following them.
I want to see the pictures, though. Oh. So Anna Marie thinks I'm on freeones.com, and I am, but it's on a different window.
Okay.
And so it's not fair.
Well, you're kind of acting
it's
like a
victim. Fair to who?
What do these porn stars have to say that you find so darn interesting?
A lot of grammatically fascinating constructed sentences. Yes, grammar. Boy, I'll tell you what, the fan page is excited about seeing Matt Holliday in the Lemmings t-shirt. Tony the Plow Dow says, he looks like Timothy Michael McKernan grew up into a big, strong man. Pretty cute.
So let me ask you this. You gave away, what, 25 free ones?
That's right.
And then after that, were they available for sale?
They are, and we've been selling the F out of them.
So
that's
how many
why
are we talking?
I honestly don't know.
100?
But, I mean, I know that Danny Packer and Brendan Marks have been mailing them out like the Dickens. Yeah. And then, Doug, my sources tell me that we're doing another TMA Live on August 18th, this one from O'Fallon, Illinois, and the people who live on the east side are very excited that we're coming their way.
Lefty Jacksmith.
For example, Madu Bowles at Hanks, Plowhawk, these are your people. This is the land of Lincoln.
Fred,
this is the land of opportunity.
Fred from the Nail.
This isn't about a red America. This isn't about a blue America. This is about America.
Okay, it's just about going to another Hotshots. It's what it's about.
This is probably what Plowsy's doing with this whole Rural King mention. You're going to Illinois. I think he has some type of under-the-table deal with Rural King. If he keeps mentioning it, he'll get some kickback on his next bag of chicken feed.
Yeah, I think at the O'Fallon Hotshots, we'll do free tractor pull rides. Sponsored by Rural King, obviously, so we'll get that in the works, Jeff.
Do you miss kind of the country, slower rural lifestyle of Canton?
I honestly do. I mean, I liked it more as a kid. I think I would find myself pretty bored now. But as like a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, it was great having no parental supervision, running around shooting cow pies with BB guns and
nobody locked
going coon hunting and things like that. That's fantastic. But I don't think now I could enjoy it as much. So I like the big city lifestyle.
Yeah, so you shot raccoons?
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about it, $35 a fur, depending on the weight. So,
Daniel Boone over here.
Yeah, you go into a silo. That's where they like to hang out and have babies. Shoot about 10 or 15 of them. Go on your four-wheeler. Shoot them in the trees. You walk out of there, $350, $400 from Havana, Illinois skin shop.
And that's for coonskin caps?
They make caps. They make slippers. I think they make socks as well.
Really?
Socks the cat. Yep. Socks the cat. John Mozeliak's going to be with us at 9:30, Doug.
Seems kind of gruesome, though, to just whip out the gun and shoot 8 or 9 raccoons right there.
Now you got to think about the party weekend you're going to be having with all that money.
Yep.
Yeah, Doug.
Did you have
a raccoon issue with your garbage cans a few years back?
No, in the house. I had them in the house. 5 of them in the house.
Did you kill them?
Did you name them?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't really meet them.
Did you name them then kill them?
Captured. No.
Wouldn't it make it tougher to go, I'm about to go shoot Fluffy now.
What were their names?
I didn't name them. I didn't know them.
But if you would have.
Darnell Coles.
No, I didn't name them.
Terrell Buckley.
Just make up
Janine Lindemolder.
I didn't name any of them.
Boyd.
I didn't know how many were up there. I just heard them up in the attic.
How about Kennesaw Mountain Landis?
Yeah, that's a great name for a raccoon. Good Lord. No, the...
Mordecai Three-Finger
The guy just came out and set a trap at the bottom of a tree that they were climbing to get up into the attic, and he hauled them out, 5 of them. I didn't want to shoot them.
Doug, pour a Frosty Bud Light. It's the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
All right.
Well, man, I do like that.
I
want to have
one.
A taste this weekend.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't get drunk in St. Louis. I need to get drunk in St. Louis.
Why?
Oh.
I have
don't know
a problem. If I have beer at my house, like the last couple nights, I will get off work, I'll get home about midnight, and I'll just have about 3 beers.
I never do that.
I'm just watching
never
a TV
do that.
Show for about, an hour.
If I'm going to drink, I want to get drunk, which I believe is not necessarily a good thing.
No.
But that's how I feel. Like, if I just have 1 or 2 drinks, I kind of don't feel that
great.
Yeah.
I feel like after work, though, there's something about you get home, take off your work clothes, Doug. You put on
work boots.
You put on your shorts and a nice, comfortable shirt, and you have a nice, cold, frosty Bud Light.
Well, a lot of people like to do that. I never do that.
Well, you should.
I just don't.
It'll take the pressure off.
I guess if you just have a beer or two, it's okay. It's almost better for you to have it than not have it, I think. A little alcohol, I think, is better than
I
none at all.
I had 3 last night.
That's 1 too many.
I like to pull people into my office and pour them a scotch.
Do you? That's cool. That is so cool. Probably got
Sit
a cigar
down.
Going.
Let's talk about the biz and your future, kid.
Exactly.
Sign this contract.
Yeah.
You have a casting couch?
You would know.
Mm. No, I'm just asking.
Thank you, Charlie.
There's room in there for one.
Doug, anything about Bertarelli Cutlery that the audience needs
to
know?
Well, chop, chop, cheeky. That's what you need to know about Bertarelli Cutlery. If you've got knives, scissors, slicer blades, whatever, if you need them sharpened so that they perform better for you in the kitchen, Bertarelli Cutlery is the place you need to go. Hey, no business is too big or too small for their family service. You can just bring in one knife if you want, or a whole batch of them. The top kitchens and restaurants in the whole area bring their knives to Bertarelli to have them sharpened, and they will be just as good as new. You know, knives are expensive, so you don't want to just throw them away if they get dull. Take them to Bertarelli Cutlery, and they will behave like they are new. Go visit and check out their showroom on the hill. Mention us, and you receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. That's Bertarelli Cutlery on the hill.
It is our pleasure to welcome to this award-winning radio presentation the general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals Baseball Club, LLC. Ladies and gentlemen, John Mozeliak. Morning, Mo.
You guys have actually won an award?
InsideSTL.com gave us award for best radio show.
That's Tim's dad.
Yeah.
Still counts.
Huh. Yeah, I figured it had to be something like that.
Thank you.
Inside job.
it was an inside job.
Well, congratulations, I suppose.
Thank you so much. The Cardinals general manager, kind enough to join us and congratulating us on the self-appointed awards we have won. A good win last night after a tough loss the night before. And in a sense, it's been somewhat of the theme of the season, the up and down nature of it. From the GM perspective, to watch the team really experience a surge in a difficult stretch through New York and Miami, but then stumble in the last couple of games. How is it from your perspective to watch a team that's right there, it's in the playoffs right now, but hasn't been able to necessarily catch a big run?
Yeah, I feel like this club's making my hair grayer. you know, it has been just one of those years where, like, I think we know what we're doing wrong, but it's not necessarily getting fixed. You know, early on, I think when we started April, you look back and there was some uncertainty with the everyday lineup because of all the injuries in the last week of spring training. But high expectations from the rotation, and that didn't quite go as well as we had hoped. And then subsequently, as we get to where we are today, rotation has been pitching stronger, but last two nights only going five. Puts a lot more stress on the bullpen. Bullpen obviously faltered the other night. And, you look at last night's game, running into outs, which has been sort of a common theme for us this year, which has been disappointing. So in the end, I wish there was something we could have done at the trading deadline that could have made all those problems go away, but there was just not one magic bullet. And so I still believe in this club. I still think it's a talented club, but you know, we've certainly faced our adversity. You lose Matt Carpenter for a month. Very hopeful we get him back tomorrow. And then you get all these positives of guys coming back. And then Diaz gets a finger broken and of course, is then placed on the DL. So it's just been one of those years where every time you think something great's going to happen or positive, you're going to take a step forward and it ends up being a step back. So tough year, but still grinding. And as you point out, even though it hasn't gone quite as planned, we're still in the thick of things.
Yeah, despite all the problems, it got that second wild card spot right now. That's pretty amazing in light of everything you've gone through.
And so, you know, we basically have, 55 games left, keep grinding, and, hopefully good things happen.
And, Mo, in terms of the trading deadline, were you comfortable with just making the move for Zach Duke? Did you want to do more and a good deal that made sense for this year and the future didn't present itself? How did you kind of look at that?
Well, we certainly targeted somebody like a Duke for the bullpen, so we felt very good about that. In terms of wanting to do more, it was always what could we do? And, you know, I think when you go basically right around the diamond in terms of where we could have possibly upgraded, you know, I understand the argument of center field and certainly explored that, but never felt like we were ever close to anything there. And then in terms of additional pitching, just I really felt like some of the asks were just so prohibitive that I didn't want to put ourselves in a position where we regret it a year from now or 2 years from now.
And that's really been, we were discussing this yesterday, as a matter of fact, to me it's been one of the key elements of the organization being consistently competitive, if not in some years, world championship competitive, dating back to 2000. I don't feel like, you know, dating back to your predecessor when you were assistant GM, Walt Jocketty, and then you guys have gotten tied into the big monster contract that becomes a debacle and an albatross, and or really selling or buying aggressively to the point that you've sold off much of the farm for an acquisition. Whereas you see other teams moving all of their chips all in, and then it burns them over the course of multiple years.
You know, I do think like some of the deals that happened this past week, and you know, clearly, you know, I think most people feel like what they paid was extremely high relative to normal trade deadline markets, etc. But they also positioned themselves to do that, and part of that was being very aggressive with their international signings over the last 4 or 5 years. Part of it was picking very high in the draft and being able to take advantage of that. And so, you know, I certainly understood some of the logic on that, but our farm system, for example, I feel is trending in the right direction. I think it's getting stronger. I think it'll be definitely in the top half of baseball by the end of this year, which I'm very excited about and take a lot of pride in. But we weren't at a position where we were just overflowing with prospect depth where we could give up 2 or 3 or 4 players and not take a hit on it. So, you know, the key thing for us was, you know, if we were going to give someone up, could we handle it? Could we absorb it? And in the end, the deal we made, we felt like we could. But, you know, some of the people that were being asked about, your Reyeses, your Weavers, just not comfortable moving one of those guys, given where we are and what we're trying to do in 17, 18, 19.
You mentioned Weaver. We've, of course, spent a lot of time talking about Reyes, but Weaver promoted this week. For our audience who isn't familiar with what he is doing, why is it that the organization has become so high on him? What has he been doing that makes you feel bullish on him?
Well, Luke was a top pick for us and someone out of University of Florida State. And then he's just been slowed with injuries. Now, the injuries were not your traditional baseball injuries in the sense of elbow or shoulder for a pitcher. It was just an ankle and a broken wrist from hitting. And so subsequently, he was someone that was just slowed and not getting sort of the play. But when you look at what he's been able to do at AA from a performance standpoint, I mean, it's just been very impressive. And you look at his walk rate, his strikeout rate, it's almost legendary for that level. And so obviously we're promoting him. He's going to get an opportunity to go to AAA. But the one thing you got to like about him is his strike thrower. I think he throws harder than people think. You know, Reyes is someone that touches 100, which gets a lot of people excited. But understand that Weaver is someone that can touch 97. So it's, you know, 3-mile-an-hour difference. And I think he is moving quickly. And you know, I feel like by the end of the summer, people are going to know who he is from a prospect standpoint. And I'm not ruling out possibly bringing him up at the end of the year, just depending on how things look and what our needs are.
And then, Mo, in terms of Reyes, I know he's not having great success at AAA right now, ERA of 5.31. You're trying to build his innings up. Do you see him at all as a option in the bullpen if it were to be a September call-up, or does that not make sense for what you're trying to do with him this season?
Well, I think we'd be open to anything really with him, depending on how the next few weeks go for him. I do think the transition to the bullpen for a short period of time might be something that he might excel in, just given the pure arm strength and overall stuff he has in terms of off-speed pitches. So it's something that we have to definitely consider at some point. But I mean, the key is it's tough to do right now, given we don't have expanded rosters. We're pretty limited on players that actually have options. So it would really have to be almost a dire straits if we did it.
I think everybody felt bad the way the start went for Mike Myers when he came up here. Has he recovered from that mentally? How's he doing now back in the minors?
You know, it was tough. And you know, it's one of those things whenever you make a decision to bring somebody up that's never been here, it can be eye-opening. And for him, his first start down to AAA didn't go as well. Last night he went 4 2/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned, and 2 walks and 8 strikeouts, so sort of a much better step forward. The guy definitely has talent in terms of role at the big leagues. It's probably likely the bullpen, but at the time we really felt like we needed someone to give us some innings, and you know, unfortunately it didn't work out.
John Mozeliak, our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. But I was asking the guys about this yesterday, talking about it with people, and I'm wondering, and it's a compliment to the organization and specifically yourself, that the Cardinals have done so well in trades that some theorize that maybe organizations are gun-shy, because even if they think it's a good deal, it's like, man, we looked at these deals in the past and it looked like the Cardinals were getting the short end of the stick, and then it wound up being a great deal for the Cardinals and they just continue to keep on winning. So in that capacity, do you find it sometimes difficult to get deals done because some teams might be gun-shy?
It's an interesting question, and one that's really hard for me to answer, because I feel like my conversations with other clubs and discussions are still, you know, from an activity standpoint, pretty high. But in terms of just being able to close deals, this year is hard to gauge because we really weren't necessarily like chasing
right.
something. But, you know, I mean, I have had other people sort of theorize that as well with me, and it's just, I don't know the answer if it's true or not. And, you know, maybe perhaps if we are under the gun sometimes, you know, trying to make a trade where it's a little more pressure, where we feel we have to, it'll be interesting to see if we can get it done.
Most kind of a fun baseball question, wondering if you'll answer it, but with Chris Sale, everybody talking about him. I know you don't like to talk about specific players, but around the trading deadline.
So you'll ask the question.
Well, no. I'm asking more hypothetically, because I think as baseball fans, we'd like to know what kind of a haul it would take to get a player like that. Could you just kind of tell us, and I'm not saying you guys were interested, but if you were, what Cardinals players would it probably take to get that deal done?
Well, I would imagine it would have to have started with Arraeus, Weaver, and still plus something something. So it'd probably been a four-player move. You look at sort of the price it costs to get somebody like a Chapman. So, you know, in theory, you could basically almost 2X that to say that's what it would cost to get him. And the reason is because his contract's so valuable.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are all club options. So, you know, in theory, if he actually got hurt, you wouldn't have to pick up the option. So you could, you know, save $12 million. So it has so much value because of the control.
We've seen an awful lot of players as free agents sign enormous contracts, $200 million up to $300 million for Stanton, and then the players don't necessarily perform up to that level. We've seen what's happened to Hayward this year in Chicago. You think it'll ever stop where teams will ever stop and say, wait a minute, it just doesn't make sense to pay 8, 10 years, $20 million a year for these guys? Because not many of those contracts seem to work out.
I suspect most people already know that. I think it's just the allure of the chase where you're just trying to close a deal. And sometimes when you're doing that, irrational decisions end up being made.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, it's sort of market driven, right? If you want to play with the big boys, that's sort of the cost of playing poker. And it's tough. Clearly, the ROI on those deals have not been very favorable for teams. But, you know, that's more of a cautionary tale than actually changing the market.
How do you feel the free agent class is this offseason?
It's down, way down. Yeah. I think that's why you saw aggressive trade market. And I think that part of the reason the class is down, too, is most teams are trying to lock up their better young players.
Is it 2 years from now that Bryce Harper hits the market? That ought to be the biggest contract ever signed, wouldn't you think?
I don't know. You got to play. I mean, I don't want to necessarily, like, you know, reflect on that, but, you know, the direction of where the industry's headed would seem like that. But at some point, you know, you have to put up elite numbers to get those kind of dollars.
Mo, yep. you spoke earlier about center field, and obviously entering the season, there were a lot of high hopes for Randall Grichuk. How do you view him right now? I don't think anybody really expected the downturn that we've seen here in 2016 from him.
Yeah, I think we entered the year with a lot more optimism for him, and, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't go as planned. Having a ton of success whenever he goes down to Memphis, had three hits last night with a home run. But, you know, unfortunately, it's just not translating to here, and I don't know if it's because it's just not where he's guaranteed every day playing or at bats. It's really hard to put my finger on because, you know, you look at him, you watch him, you believe he's got a lot of talent, and I do think from the analytical side, he's improving. He's walking more. He's striking out less, but yet it's just not working at the major league level. So, you know, hopefully we can get him hot down there, and he's someone that we can call back up, and he'll get that bounce for us.
Any time you're kind enough to stop by our neighborhood septic tank and do the show, I like to try and get a gauge on what your analysis is and whether that's with a comparison with the teams, because you've been with the organization so long and the teams have been so successful. And a lot of people go, well, you saw what happened in 2006. And I don't know if that's a fair comparison because that team was so good record-wise the first 2 months of the season and so injured the next 3 or 4 months and then perfect timing health-wise right at the end of September, start of October. Do you see similarities with 06 in the 16 team?
Not really. I feel like, you know, you look at the 06 club, and going back to like the 04 and 05,
right.
You know, tons of success, 100 game wins. And then ultimately we just really struggled for majority of the summer. And then of course, as you point out, all of a sudden we got healthy, we got hot. And you might even say we got a little lucky. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things combined to allow us to win the World Series, which was just an amazing ride. And, matter of fact, we just got to see majority of that team back right here in St. Louis, and it was really fun to catch up with all those guys. But you look at last year, we won 100 games. We were in a lot of close games. This year, from an offensive standpoint, we're much more explosive. But I also feel from an overall team standpoint, we've been a little more inconsistent. And, you know, so I sort of always, like, just wonder if part of what we've created, because we wanted this roster flexibility, we wanted to have some depth where we could have some pieces be movable. And in the end, I'm wondering if maybe we created too much flexibility and lack of stability for just the everyday club. Because, you know, from a defensive standpoint, from just the mistake standpoint, we seem to be at a much higher rate than I would have anticipated.
Well, we were having this discussion yesterday about the wild card and how teams and GMs look at it now at the trading deadline. Do you think, is it much different for you or other GMs if you're basically playing for a one-game wild card probably, as opposed to, let's say, if you're only one game back of the division and you thought you had a really good chance for a series? Does that really impact how you look at the trading deadline, knowing, you know, the odds are better that it'll be a one-game playoff?
No, I don't think so. I think ultimately you want to get in and then roll the dice from there. But, you know, clearly I think there's probably a lot of variables that go into your decision-making at the trade deadline, and one might be just your history. I mean, if you hadn't been to the playoffs in a long time, for example, like the Marlins, you might want to just get back in there. You saw, like, last year Houston was very aggressive because they just wanted to get to the playoffs. And so everybody's sort of chasing a little bit of a different carrot. But, you know, in the end, I think you're trying to do what you think's best for your organization, what's going to create the most interest in your organization, and that sort of bakes into it. But there's the short view and the long view that also is involved there when you're thinking about what it costs to make those improvements. And so I think all of us that sit in this seat go through that exercise and try to do what's best for the organization, and ultimately I hope you make the right decision.
I really enjoyed this interview. I felt like we were on our game. How do you feel?
I mean, I don't know. I felt like there was a little bit of pauses between questions, and I can just imagine the three of you guys sitting there like, okay, no, it's your turn. Why am I ready? No,
I say, it's funny you say that.
Do something.
No, it's funny you say that. Because literally, when I asked the Chris Sale question, Doug, I thought Doug was going to ask a question.
My IFB went out, right?
Yeah,
I didn't hear what he
said.
Doug
had an earpiece issue, so I all of a sudden just – whatever was
Doug
in my
was like
head.
Pounding a donut. And,
right.
And,
no,
not
I don't
my turn.
Donut. So I just had to blurt out something, and Chris Sale was on my mind. But thank you for appeasing me.
Well, that's why you're award-winning, guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
Put that off. We're going to use that now all the time.
Same
thank you,
circle,
Mo.
Didn't it?
All right, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Good luck with us on the radio program.
So he noticed
award-winning
that.
Show.
Literally, I thought Doug was going to ask a question. I look over, and he was like bent down.
I've got this adapter
fixing
issue.
His earpiece. Man. So I was like, I don't hear Chris Sale.
Everybody who talks breaks up in and out about 5 seconds. I hear you, and then I don't hear you for about 3 or 4 seconds. It comes and it goes. Someone keeps stealing the adapter. Man, I need a new one. Look at
he
this.
Read us like he was like Phil Ivey looking into our souls.
No.
God, we're
he's
exposed.
Good. He's good.
Mm-mm-mm.
I thought that was interesting. Very interesting.
I enjoyed the interview.
Sure.
And there was an awkward pause, which rarely happens. If anything, we're clear that who's going to ask the next question, but I can tell with body language who's planning on asking a question.
Mm.
And I thought, like you thought, that Doug was asking a question, but he lost audio.
I didn't
audio.
Hear anything that he was saying. I heard not a word of it.
Oh. Good stuff, though.
Not high on the free agent class. And then kind of and the other thing, I thought that was really an intriguing interview. And then kind of self-critical, I think, by saying, I think maybe we sacrifice stability for roster flexibility, and it's cost us. In particular, he made reference to the defense this year.
Well, a lot of that they couldn't do anything about. You know, they thought Peralta was going to be the shortstop. He got hurt. They bring in Diaz, who I think they probably knew he wasn't the best defensive shortstop around. He leads the major league in errors, I believe, and yet he's an all-star because his bat is so good. You can't take him out of the lineup, and yet he's not a terribly good defensive shortstop. Same thing in center. You thought Grichuk was your everyday center fielder who's pretty good defensively. He doesn't hit a lick. So now you got to put other guys out there like Pham, who hits more but not as good defensively. So a lot of it they couldn't possibly have planned for.
And you're talking about cornerstone defensive positions there in shortstop and center field.
Right. That's where most of the problems have been.
It does seem like, and I think in the National League it's nice to have so many moving parts, but sometimes you just want to be able to look at your lineup every day and say, that's my third baseman, that's my shortstop, that's my second baseman, that's my center fielder, and then kind of just go from there.
107 games into the season, I'm not sure they've used the same lineup twice. I mean, it changes every night. They've had 7 or 8 different leadoff hitters.
They've also had guys who have gotten hot and contributed. Jed Jerko. I mean, the last couple weeks since Carpenter's been down, Jed Jerko has been a godsend for him.
And he is really a good defensive player too. I guess we should have known if a guy can play shortstop, he's going to be able to handle every other position on the field. Boy, he can. He can play anywhere.
It's like if a guy can be a really good bottom, you know he's going to be a good top.
No, that's not what I meant.
I'm still liking this team for a wild card spot.
Oh, yeah.
And then you never know.
How can you not? I mean, it's, you know, first week of August, and they're in now. And, you know, there just isn't a team at this moment that you go, God, look at that team. But even when that team, I mean, at this point, I know I said it like 2 days ago, so it's super redundant, but one of the best teams I thought, hell, the 2009 Cardinals, actually, I thought were an incredible baseball team. Because that's one of the only years you had Wainwright and Carpenter really healthy in the postseason together. And I think they both were 2 of 3 top Cy Young, right? Lincecum won, and then they were 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And that team got swept. And then I go back to the 2011 Phillies. So even if you do have that team, it's not like it's invincible. Very obvious statement. But so, yeah, they can get in there. I think, you know, Mazalek doesn't necessarily sound super bullish on what they are, but he also knows the program. They're in there. You keep grinding, and maybe they get hot and lucky, like he described the 2006 team, which was, I thought, a good analysis of that operation. But because that happened, it has created more so, I think, in St. Louis than other places, maybe to an extent Kansas City, but they don't have a whole lot of recent history to compare. And I'm talking about 2 years, obviously, has been great recent history for Kansas City, but, you know, the last 16 seasons to compare and contrast. And so, well, look at the 2006 team, look at the 2011 team. They're never out of it, but that's like, yeah, I beat Pocket Aces with 7 deuce, so therefore that doesn't mean 7 deuce is the right hand. You follow me, baby? Do you follow me? Follow me.
Holler
if
really.
You hear me, Pac.
Okay.
Guys, what I took away from that interview is he's super high on Luke Weaver, and we're going to see him in September. That was another substantial statement, I thought.
Yeah, his numbers are dynamite.
It also sounded like Reyes is an option for September. Not many clubs could bring up 2 premium arms when rosters expand to help out in the bullpen, like those two.
I just think you have to be careful about overvaluing your prospects, like Reyes, who's got the ERA of 5. He's not getting a whole lot of people out of AAA to think he's going to come up here and be a world beater.
He did say the transition to a bullpen role, though, could be easier for him.
You might have heard Cucky and Tony Messenger exchanging messages when Tony Messenger did his show, and he said he likes to paint his stepdad before they would go to games, paint his chest. And if you're looking for paint to paint your stepfather, Brian's Paint, with 12 years of experience, can handle all of your painting needs, such as interior, exterior, and that includes carports. So that's nice. That's helpful for me and many of my neighbors. Custom painting, murals, and faux finishing, plus deck refinishing and power washing. Having an art degree, Brian is able to offer color assistance and bring you the highest quality work. Professional, clean, and affordable. Brian offers free estimates and is fully licensed and insured. Somebody emailed me yesterday. Supporting the sponsors. What's the name of that painting company you're promoting? Brian's Paint is the name. Like the Facebook page, Brian's Paint, to see his portfolio or contact at brianspaint.com. Anna Marie and I were very happy with Brian's work and professionalism, and we can wholeheartedly recommend him because he painted our house just a few weeks ago. So, Doug, you might want to think about that.
Okay. I didn't hear the last part of what you said because of this thing that won't go into the desk right.
It's because of your earbuds.
It isn't. It's
the
adapter.
Use the cans.
I don't want to use cans.
It's time for email of the day.
It's the adapter.
Doug, we're giving away tickets to the Bud Bash, August 9th, Cardinals-Reds. Greeting, friend. I'm here to tell you about mayoral candidate Doug Vaughn. This fine gentleman possesses the 2 most important qualities in a candidate: machine gun proficiency and absolutely 0 political experience. He has a plan to cut down kids on your lawn by 40%. And Doug Vaughn fought the big phone companies when they tried to give us phones with such small buttons. Doug also has an initiative to stop all the young people with their loud music and their laziness. Also, please join us at Orlando Gardens this weekend for a town hall debate between Doug and an empty folding chair that he keeps referring to as Crooked Hillary. So this spring, when you step into the voting booth, pull the lever for Doug Vaughn, a candidate I can really get behind. I'm the hipster of Tower Grove South, and I approve this message.
Hipster, Tower Grove
wow.
South.
Well
awful.
Done.
Awful.
Great. Are you serious?
Yeah, awful.
Salutations. I am new to the proper St. Louis area, and I'm new to the show. I think I'm beginning to understand it, though. It's a smorgasbord. Do you say smorgasbord or
smorgasbord?
Smorgasbord of interesting info and topics, and it's great. I'm starting to think the email of the day is a roast, right? And the old TV men on your show are gayer than butterfly nets.
No.
Well, strap in, because this is a hot take. Yep, hottest of heats. Hopefully the safety belt doesn't lock you in the car and you die from being burned. Charlie, you know who also had great hair and shaved it? Jeffrey Dahmer. You are like him. Ha, roasted.
Mm.
Tim, I'm scared of your loomings, so I'll just say you're great, but you are of below average height, short guy. Ha, yeah. Roasted.
Yeah. Nice.
Doug, I love. You're such a powerful old gentleman that it makes me want to wear your nutsack like a butt sack on my back and stuff.
That's enough.
Wow.
Who was it, Tim?
Kevin Shipp.
Kevin Shipp.
That was really good towards the end. It got too vile.
Kevin Shipp has been suspended for his language. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Thanks, Llewellyn, for the suspension log, Yule.
Well, anyways, let me preface this message to say that I'm not one to complain. I think Inside STL is first class, like Piper Chapman in Litchfield Prison. However, the 4XL Lemmings t-shirt I received this morning is a bit undersized. Would it be possible to exchange it for an Inside STL party tent with the top cutout? Please respect your more Rubenesque listeners. What does that mean, Doug? Rubenesque?
I don't know.
That's like an old art term. The way women were more voluptuous back in the olden days.
Oh, yeah, like at Lane Bryant on Manchester.
Yeah, sure. They didn't work out.
We're your chefs and mall Santas. We are your carnival workers and New Jersey governors and AM radio fill-in hosts. Are we not human? If you pick us, do we not bleed gravy? Well, we all have stories. That's from Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer.
Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer.
Guys, little Misty XXX here. Who knew shaving your bush could be so professionally rewarding? Yesterday, I write into you about trimming up me beanbag, and I'm giving a pair of cardinal tickets for my troubles. That Hollywood derelict Sasha Gray restyles her front butt, and you guys talk about her for 10 minutes on the radio. That's not true. It's Keisha Gray, bro. Keisha Gray. Now, I'm just wondering, who else is going to capitalize on this hot new trend? I could see Jennings working himself over with a Mach 3 and a T-box out at The Rock for all to see. He'd tie it in with some promotion for a free round and a six-pack. I could see caller Dan going rogue during a rain delay and flat out getting after it while Roboski narrates. I could obviously Doug dropping his pants in the middle of a Best Buy and shedding some squigglies at the customer service counter while screaming, "Remember me, you bastards!" Ah,
they
yes.
They shut down.
Pubes, the corsage of public toilet seats. Doug, that comes from the elusive.
Didn't need that.
Misty.
That's gross.
Plops.
It is.
Corsage.
Elusive, misty plops.
Wow, wow, wow. Charlie did it again. This guy is ridiculous. Couldn't disagree more with him again today. He said he goes to Walgreens almost every day to get things. Hey, Charlie, why do you hate CVS? You were wrong for not going to CVS. It's the more cool, hip place to go and has carpet on the ground. You were wrong again about where you get your haircut. Great Clips? That's like the McDonald's of haircut places. I couldn't dare trust the people there to give me the super hard haircut of a two-guard buzz cut. I also heard a drop of you saying something like, everybody on TV and the news is gay. Well, I've never once stepped foot in a studio or been in that industry, but you're wrong, and I disagree with you. White collar gangster.
WCG.
White collar gangster.
Well done.
Wasn't well
done. This is a good batch. Seriously.
And finally, okay. This email is for Chuck, Tim, the Plowboy, the Sea Monster, Frank, Hoffman, Anna Marie, who I'm sure is in her office right now, hearing loud and clear through the paper-thin walls. Please be at the QT at 270 McDonald at 1247 for your next clue to the location of the happy hour.
Barnhart Brawler.
Yeah, that's it, actually.
Sure.
It's not done, though. This is an invite-only event, and we need to keep the riffraff out. Brother Jacksmere will be heading behind the QT in a yellow poncho with further instruction. We don't need any five heads crashing our good time or inbred Hoosiers with their crappy barbecue sauce showing up in studio expecting to be asked on air, but instead being relegated to the lobby for 2 hours after he drove from Boonville or SEMO or wherever. Oh, and Stephen Wildwood's invitation has been roped. You F with Sister Becky, you F with all of us.
Lord.
What happened there?
I don't know. Yet despite all of our precautions, somehow Big Al still managed to show up, help himself to beer he didn't pay for, use someone's laptop as a coaster. I hope he tells that Royals Hall of Fame story for the 12th time. Do good, avoid evil. The Barnard Brawler. Charlie, answer me for the email of the day.
Wow. Great batch, in my opinion.
I'm going to go for a fella by the name of Moyer, Jamie Moyer's Fancy Four.
You don't ever pick the correct email.
Yes, I do.
You never do.
I picked the right one.
Great batch. I like the WCG, White Collar Gangsta. I like Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer. I liked Kevin Shipp, but he was too vile at the end. The best email by far, not even close, the first one you read, Hipster of Tower Grove.
I agree
South.
With Charlie, the Hipster of Tower Grove.
Damn it, Lucas.
Just won the email of the day and the tickets to the Bud Badge Cardinals, Reds, August 9th. Time for us to go for Matt. For the Plowhawk, for my brother Kevin, for the Sea Monster, for Charlie Marlowe and Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and for Douglas Sullivan on. I'm Tim McCurdy. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and inside STL.com live from the Gateway. Beautiful.